Good evening, church. God is good. All right, see, I got to train you real quick. I'll do that. Not a big deal. I say God is good, you just say all the time. So let's go with that. God is good. Then I'll say all the time, you'll say God is good. So God is good. And all the time. Amen. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and let us be glad in it. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are grateful for this day and for the blessings that you give us. Father, for the opportunity to be together tonight with friends, with family, we just thank you for that. And Father, we just continue to pray for your guidance in all that we do. Lord, we ask that you forgive us, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I must say, I am excited about the topic about becoming a servant or make me a servant. Because I believe that if you are in a true relationship with Jesus Christ, you can't help but to give of yourself. You just can't help but to do it. I believe, this is just me personally, and I'm preaching, so it's going to be right for at least the next 30 minutes. But I believe personally that you can't say Christian without saying servant. I just think they go together. Just like we just sang, we sing, Make Me a Servant. But we also sing songs like, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Right? Y'all know that song? Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Have Thine Own Way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me. After thy will, while I am waiting, yielded and still. Do we really want him to have his way? We'll sing, Make Me a Servant. We'll sing, Have Thine Own Way. But do we really understand the implication behind what we're singing and what we're saying? I believe there is no greater thing to be than a servant. I love serving. I love being involved in people's lives and just helping any way I can. I think that might be just the greatest mark of who we are as followers of Jesus Christ. Because I think that that is what sets us apart from a selfish society. The way that we live our lives and give of ourselves to others. I can think of no other group of people that likes to give of themselves more than people that follow Jesus Christ. I've been personally blessed by people serving me. People that I didn't even know, but still yet wanted to help and serve in my life in some way. So what I want to try to do tonight, just for the next hour or so or two, however long I feel like speaking, or until the mic turns off or the guy in the little stage setting back there shuts me off or whatever, is I just want to look and really think about tonight what it means to be a servant. And here in a minute, this is really just a 2-point sermon, Bob. I'm sorry. I know we're taught in preaching schools to have 3 points. Well, I'm being generous and just giving you 2, and I may come up with a 3rd if I can think of one, but right now it's just going to be 2 points that I have for you. But when we talk about serving, see, I believe the attitude behind serving is grace. See, because think about it. The greatest servant we have is who? See, that's like an easy Sunday morning Bible class answer. We always teach our kids on Sunday morning, if you can't think of an answer, Rosemary, you just say, Jesus. And you can't go wrong with that answer. But see, I believe the greatest example we have of a servant is Jesus Christ, and his life is marked by the grace that he gives towards us. And so I believe behind the attitude behind sharing and behind serving is the attitude of grace. But on the flip side of that, I believe the attitude behind not wanting to serve is one of pride. I'm too good to go and do that. That's not what I want to do. I'm not really worried about what you want to do. I want to do what Jesus wants me to do. And it may not be things that I want to do. But if I'm going to sing, Have Thine Own Way, Lord, He's the what? The potter. And I am the... And then we say, mold me and make me. Well, hold on. I don't know if you... I want you to mold me and make me in this kind of way because I'm not sure that's really what I want to do. I'll just throw myself under the bus. That's how I am sometimes, right? I won't put anybody else here tonight in that same category. It's just me. But there are things that I'm just like, man, I just don't know if I want to do that. But it's not about what I want to do. It's about what Jesus is telling me and calling me to do. And you know, the strange thing about it, Jesus may call you to go do something, and you're like, okay, I'm going to do it. Then everybody else around you go, what in the world are you doing? That makes absolutely no sense. Well, that's okay. Jesus has told me to do it, so I'm going to go and do it. That's what serving's all about. Just doing what the Father calls us to do. I believe that one of the reasons that we may struggle with the idea of being a servant is just simply because of the way the world views serving. I mean, we are in a me generation, right? I mean, good night, we have a phone that's called what? iPhone. It's about me. So the phone wasn't enough, so they want an iPad, an iWatch, an iThis, an iThat. It's always about what I want. But the day that I decided to give my life to Jesus Christ and die to self, and baptism is the day that I said it's no longer what I want. Lord, make me a servant. Make me like you. Now we know this little old word joy, right? We know what it stands for, right? Jesus, then what? Others, then yourself. But a lot of times I think we spell it with the Y first. I try to come up with a cool word, couldn't figure out how to say it. So sometimes I think we just put the why first. We're worried about self. And what I've learned is this, and I'm learning more and more about the longer I live, because I'm still a young pup. Amen. But what I am learning is this, the more that I truly let myself go and do what God calls me to do, there's going to be somebody else in my life that's going to work with me. So I don't have to worry about all the time doing what Dustin wants or trying to take care of what Dustin needs. Because if I'm serving somebody else, God's going to place somebody in my life to serve with me. So I got to let go of the reins of life. And that's tough for us to do. If you have a Bible, we're going to hang out in Mark chapter 10. I'm fairly positive you have probably been there one time during these Wednesday night series. Mark chapter 10, I'm going to start reading in verse 41 and go from there. Hearing this, the ten became to feel indignant with James and John. Calling them to himself, Jesus said to them, you know that those who recognize as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. But it is not this way among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many. See, the background that we have here, the context that is going on here, the disciples, mainly two of them, James and John, just asked Jesus what? Hey, I want to sit here, and we want to sit here. They want place of recognition. They want the good seats. So what does that do to the other crowd of men? Makes them a little upset with each other. And what we read here, especially starting in the second half of verse 42, is Jesus' response to them wanting to sit in these so-called seats. But you see, at this point into the life of the disciples, at where they're at right now in their walk, I don't believe that they have gotten it. I don't believe it's clicked with them yet. See, the disciples have forgotten that they are citizens of a new kingdom. And see, this kingdom, things are done a little bit differently. I believe they have forgotten that. See, they are not of this world anymore. Amen? But they are still acting in a way that is of the world. We sing the song, "This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore." Y'all like that? I'm sure you couldn't tell, but I'm really not a song leader. But I can do these little things here and make you stop. It's kind of cool. But think about it. See, here's these men that are following this rabbi. And I think you're kind of understanding, Bob, like, hey, this guy's kind of important. And I want to be in the good seats. See, but the kingdom is kind of upside down sometimes in those ways. And see, they need to understand that they're a part of a new kingdom, not of this world. This world is different. And we sing it, "This world's not my home." But do our lives show that we are not living like this world is not our home? Are we any different than these two men here that said, "Hey, this is where I want to be"? I believe they were proud to be following in the footsteps of Jesus. But I believe that they haven't made the shift from hearing His teachings to actually living His teachings, to become what He's taught. See, He's teaching them all this stuff, and if you're anything like I am, when somebody starts teaching, and I know you're not doing this tonight because you're all looking at me, but hey, in a minute, everybody's going to be going, "This guy preaches longer than Bob. My goodness." And we just kind of start zoning out and we don't really even hear. And we got to be able to hear what the Word says so it can transform who we are. Because we're not of this world. We live life differently. When somebody sees me, they should be able to say, "That dude right there lives a different way. What makes him different? Why is he living life the way he lives it?" See, because they've given up their jobs, their families, and everything to follow Jesus. They've given all of this up. And I believe that they feel like they deserve to be recognized and to be held as prominent. We want what we won't work for, and we want what we deserve. I think that's their attitude. That's where they're at. But Jesus, being who He is, verse 43, He pulls a rug out from underneath these men. And He says, "Not so with you. This is not the way we live." And when I get to heaven, I'm going to watch this on DVR. This is one of the scenes that I want to see and watch. I'm going to hit the play, then I'm going to watch it and probably rewind it again because I want to see their faces. When He says, "Hey, really, the true person of the kingdom of God is the slave and the servant." What? Man, I don't know if I want to be that person. I don't know if I want to be the slave and the servant. One being told what to do. I can't wait to see their faces. So what I want to do now is kind of flip just a little bit and give you what I'm calling the keys to greatness. There's two of them. The first one is this. Stop being selfish. Just stop being selfish. All right?
Selfish means devoted to or caring for oneself. Concerned primarily with one's own interest, benefits, and welfare, regardless of others. I care more about me. What I am learning is this. If you have a Bible, turn with me to the book of Philippians. Philippians 2. See, greatness is not found in wealth. Greatness is not found in fame. Greatness is not found in power. You want to see what greatness looks like? Follow with me in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Says this. Have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus, who although He existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied Himself, taking the form of a bond servant. If you write in your Bible, and it's okay to do that, circle that word. Put arrows towards it, because we're going to come back and talk about that word here in a minute. And being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. That's greatness. Those are words that define greatness. He humbled Himself. He became obedient to the point of death. Are we not supposed to die as well? Several years ago, I'm going to forget the preacher's name in Red River, Bob. Is it James Bailey? Is that right? Is that his name? We'll go with that. Nobody else knows who it is, so I'm right. James Bailey. George, somebody Bailey. How about Brother Bailey? We'll go with that. He made a statement. This guy walked up to the podium and didn't even have a Bible in his hand. He quoted like 19 million scriptures from the King James. It was just the most amazing thing I've ever seen. I still have to look at my notes. This guy was just going crazy. But I remember he said this. He said, dead people don't argue. I wish I would have come up with that, because that's a really good statement. I have it written in the front part of my Bible. And if I'm truly dead to myself, just like it says here, then I will be humbled and I will be obedient to the things that God is calling me to do. But I have to understand that greatness is not in wealth, not in fame, not in power. Greatness is found in humility. Greatness is found in being obedient. And greatness is found in submitting to what the King is calling us to do. And He's going to call us to do things that doesn't make any sense. He's going to call us to go to Nineveh. Nobody wants to go there. I'm going to go sit underneath the tree and pout. He's going to call me to go to Pharaoh and tell him to do some things. But I can't do that because, well, I'm not a very good speaker. That's all right. You don't have to be. I'll send somebody else that can do the speaking. Isn't that the cool thing about God? When we truly submit to what He wants us to do and just serve Him, He's going to take care of our needs. He'll do it. All we have to do is just understand that we don't have to be selfish anymore. See, because I'm going to be honest with you. I was pretty content living in Madisonville, Texas. I was doing good, Rosemary. I was happy. I had life going the way I wanted. Had a ministry that I loved doing. But all of a sudden, God wants me to go do something else. And so I'm going to submit and do what God wants me to do. It may not make sense to anybody. I'm not worried about anybody. I'm worried about what God wants me to do. Amen? I know it's Wednesday night and I don't have a clock. How in the world did you get an auditorium without a clock in here, man? That is amazing. There's usually a clock like right there that says, underneath it, it says time to go, you know, so. Sorry, that was an ADD moment. I apologize. But man, you know, we got to submit, and it may not make sense, and that's okay. Because if we're serving God, that's all we need to worry about. And we don't have to be selfish with ourselves. We can give up our lives and let God do what God knows how to do. So the first key to greatness is to stop being selfish. And the second one is just simply this. Serve others. I can think of no greater joy than serving others. I just can't think of anything greater than that. Back over here, if you will, go with me back to Mark, where we were hanging out at, Mark chapter 10. Jesus tells them that whoever wants to become great shall be your servant. The word servant there is the word we all know, the Greek word diakonos, where we get the idea of a deacon. Then he says also that you become a slave. That's the Greek word doulos, which means you were forced in to a service. These were the two lowest positions in society at this time. Yet Jesus said to be a servant and a slave was to be great and first. That's kind of backwards, huh, than what we think. See, listen to this. True servanthood is marked by the willingness to abandon all to become the tool in the hand of another. I am willing to abandon who I am. What do you need to abandon tonight to become a servant? We sing, I am mine no more. I am mine no more. I've been bought with blood. I am mine no more. My hope for you is this. I'm not done. This is not the ending part. I'm just getting revved up. My hope for you is this. That when you leave tonight, you can say, I am mine no more. That's what I hope. That's what I hope. Paul, over in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 1, you don't have to turn there. You can if you want, but he calls himself a bondservant. When you look at this word, the word bondservant means devoted to another. Now listen to this part. You're devoted to another to the disregard of your own interest. No matter what I want, I'm still going to be devoted to another. Who are you devoted to tonight? Are you devoted to self? Are you devoted to the King? I am mine no more. Make me a servant. Have thine own way. This world is not my home. John chapter 3 and verse 30, John the Baptist says, I must decrease so he can do what? Increase. And in my Bible, I have those two words circled with arrows drawn to them. Because John is saying, when he says increase, that he is saying that Jesus must become greater. And the word decrease means to decrease in authority and popularity. See, we love authority, right? I love being in charge. Because that's what I want to be, in charge. I want to be in charge of my own life. See, because when we talk about authority, there's another word that goes right along with that, and that's the word control. I like to be in control. I like control as long as I'm in control. Amen? I don't like control when I'm not in control. I don't like it then. It's not a cool word anymore. When I'm in control, it's like my favorite word. But when I'm not in control, I'm not a big fan of it. But what I have to understand is this. If I'm truly giving my life to Jesus, then I'm not in control. Isn't that what we say baptism is symbolic of? Dying to self. If I'm dead, then I'm giving up control. He must increase and I must decrease. So the keys to greatness is this. Stop being selfish and serve others. There's a lot of ways you can serve. Ways that are just real simple. We've made serving so difficult, I think. It doesn't have to be some big grand thing that gets put in the bulletin and you get a sign-up sheet and 76,000 people sign their name on it. Then you can go and do it. Just serve. Everybody has a hand. Everybody can get a pen and everybody can get a card and write somebody a note. That's discouraged. That's serving. That's not being selfish. That's giving of yourself to help somebody else out. Greatness is not a matter of authority and control, but it's a matter of humility and service. True service is something that comes from the heart. The true spiritual discipline of service involves putting others' needs before yours. If you have a Bible, this is the last verse I have for you, and this lesson will be yours. Proverbs chapter 11. Service is a spiritual discipline. Because honestly, Rosemary, as humans, we're born selfish. I mean, we really are. We're born not thinking of others before ourselves. But what I am learning is this. As I grow in my faith and practice service, the more and more it becomes second nature and just a way of life. So it's like anything else. Every morning, my bride and I, before we do anything else the rest of the day, what do? We work out. I mean, we're not doing anything. Our house can be on fire. And we're going to get our workout in before we get all the pictures off the wall and make sure our kids are out of the house. Y'all hold on. I got to work out. I don't care if the house is on fire. It'll be all right. It is who we are. It's part of our life. Serving comes the same way. When it's just what you do every single day, you can't help but to serve. And I think, how would the world be right now if we just served one another? Not just in these walls. I'm talking about serving people that don't even follow Jesus Christ. Can you imagine that? What it would be like if we just served people that didn't even care about who Jesus was? Because if we did that, they're going to ask, what? Why? Why are you doing this? Because I am mine no more. The potter has taken the clay and turned me into a servant. My prayer is that we leave here tonight by saying, I am mine no more. The writer of Proverbs says this, the generous man will be prosperous. This is the part that I want you to see. And he who waters will himself be watered. Lord, make me a servant. Make me like you. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this opportunity tonight to gather together with friends, with family, with loved ones, and for the opportunity to come together and sing praises. Father, I pray tonight that we become servants.
that we can walk out of here tonight and say, I am mine no more. Thank you for loving us, and we thank you for Jesus. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Now, I need everybody to do me a favor. Next week, some sorry turkey by the name of John Payne's coming here to preach. You let him know that the guy the week before him was 1,000 times better. Like when he gets up, just start booing and hissing and say, bring Dustin back. That's all you got to do for me.